sing these songs of praise to our God. And amen that our God is here. He has drawn near to us, and we're reminded of that at Christmas, aren't we? My name's Dave, one of the pastors here, and it's great to be able to share God's word with you. If you've got your Bible, you'll need that this morning. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2. So get that out, Luke chapter 2. If you didn't bring a Bible, there are some in the little grills underneath the seats there. We'll need that. And while you're grabbing that, I wonder what's on your Christmas list, because it's coming up soon. Depending on your age or stage of life, that list may change a bit. But some people are in the habit of making little wish lists of things that they'd love to get for Christmas. I know that in our house with the little ones, maybe it's toys or games that are on that list. If you're a little bit older, maybe it's like a lawnmower or something for the kitchen, perhaps. Tickets to a concert or some clothes, maybe. If you're in the habit of making a Christmas wish list, more often than not, these things are practical things. They're physical things. But I want you to ponder just for a moment, if you were to make a wish list for Christmas of things that money can't buy, what might be some of those intangible things that your heart might want to put on that sort of list, were your heart to write one? What might be on it? I wonder, for some, perhaps it would be some form of relationship restoration or reconciliation that your heart would want on that list. Maybe some family situation that you wish were a little bit better. Perhaps it would be some other area of life where we have a deep need and that we long for the Lord to step in and intervene. My guess is, without pondering that too hard, if our hearts were to make such a list, I would imagine that somewhere on that list, for most of us, peace would be on the list. If we're honest, I think we could all use a little bit more peace in our lives. Our hearts long for peace. We long for peace over our finances, peace over our employment situation. We long for peace in our families, in our relationships. We long for peace in our health, peace over that house sale maybe, or peace over that house hunt, peace over that move to a new location, maybe peace in that period of change in our church. Our text this morning speaks to us of this need for peace and the great joy and peace that Christmas offers. So we're going to dive in and have a look at our text this morning. Now, this is a familiar passage to us, and we need to be careful that we don't get lost in the familiarity of it. For those of us who've read this passage before, it's a challenge to us that we don't miss what God is wanting to say to us. Let's try and look at it with fresh eyes this morning. Let's bow in prayer and ask God to do that for us. Father, we thank you for your word and the way in which you speak your peace to us. Father, as we turn to this familiar passage of Scripture, as we come to reflect again on the miracle of Christ's birth, we ask, Lord, that you might speak to us. Show us something new. Let us encounter you this morning in your word. Lord, that we might hear what you want to say to us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, verses 8 to 21. A familiar encounter of some angels and some shepherds who were out in the field that night that Christ was born. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 21. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what has been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. And we have the text for this morning, God's word to us. A familiar passage, is it not? But one that speaks to us about this wonderful peace that God gives to us, a peace that we're reminded of this Christmas. And as we look at this encounter with these shepherds and this angel, this morning I just want to mention a few things about the shepherds to start with. Because in this particular time, it's important for us to understand who these men were. Shepherding was more of a social class than a profession in this particular period in history. Shepherds were probably born into the role. It was a role or a class that was held in terribly low esteem. As a shepherd, you were considered ceremonially unclean. You were banned from worship in the temple. And what this meant for shepherds was that you were considered outside of God's favor and therefore spiritually beneath all the other Jews. Most shepherds didn't help their own cause. They were generally rascals, thieves, scoundrels or drunks, folk who couldn't fit into regular society or failed to follow the strict and rigorous Jewish law, often found amnesty among the shepherds who harbored these thieves and drunkards and liars. They often worked alone or in small groups, tending their flocks and staying out of the big cities. They worked long hours, sometimes more than 24 hours at a time, and they slept out in the fields with the animals that they were caring for. So they were often smelly and dirty. While you could make a living being a shepherd, this particular class of people were viewed with a great deal of disdain and suspicion. In fact, it was actually a law around the time of Jesus' birth that shepherds were barred from giving testimony in a court of law. This was the law. A shepherd could never give evidence or present himself as a witness in court. He just couldn't do it. He was the lowest of the low in society. When we think of these shepherds in this text, it's important for us to think of them as a social minority who was looked down upon by nearly every other group in society. And I think it's important we have that background because I think it helps us understand and make sense of this great fear that overcame them when the angel of the Lord turned up in verse 9. The angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And these shepherds, these men were afraid, terror struck right to their very bones. They must have wondered why the angel would appear and why now, why to them? Surely it meant bad news. Surely it meant judgment because after all, these were shepherds. In their day, not even a priest would go out to meet shepherds. And yet here's the angel of the Lord and the glory of God shone around them. Surely this meant bad news. They were right to be frightened. Friends, what this does is this highlights for us an important truth this morning. The important truth that God is holy. In the fear that these shepherds had, in the way in which they were terrified when this angel and the glory of the Lord appeared, we see that God is holy. So holy that when his glory is revealed, people tremble in fear. And it's not just shepherds. Time and time again in the scriptures, we see people tremble in fear when God's glory is revealed. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 22, when Gideon was presented with the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." He trembled in fear. In 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 30, David, he was afraid to inquire of the Lord because he was filled with such fear. John in Revelation 1:17, as he recounts the vision that he was given from the Lord of the future, as the angel came to him and presented this vision, he fell at his feet, though dead. This is a natural and a normal fear next to a God who is holy. See, these shepherds' fear is related to the majesty and the splendor of God. The power of this angelic being, it's glorious and it triggers this fear response. It's probably a poor illustration, but I was thinking about this. And I was thinking it's probably like the fear that we feel when we see a police car on the road. We're driving along, we see a police car. Instinctively, there's this reaction for most of us. Like, maybe it's just me. It's almost involuntary. You check your speed. You check your road position. You ask yourself the question, is my reg up to date? Is my license up to date? I've been caught out on that one before. Now, this response could be due to the fact that I've got a habit of driving slow when I see a police car, or maybe because I've got a habit of driving fast. But there's a fear. And the point is, with these shepherds this morning, what we see is that the greater or the more glorious something is, we can fear that. Like maybe another example, we don't fear a duck on a lake unless we're scared of ducks, but we probably would fear the fin in the ocean. Maybe. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 9, the angel of the Lord appears and the glory of the Lord shone around these shepherds and they were terrified. And friends, see, what happened in that moment was the holiness of God was revealed. These shepherds suddenly could see how glorious and how majestic God is, and it stood in stark contrast to who they were. Ordinary, dirty shepherds. And in that moment, there's this sense of guilt, this fear, because these shepherds know who they are. They know what they've done. They know the hidden thoughts they've had, the things that they may have said or done that would shame them if they were known. And in that moment, they were terrified. Friends, what is true of these shepherds is true of us. If we were to encounter the splendor and the holiness of God, it would terrify us. It should terrify us. We would tremble like these shepherds. When we come face to face with the glory of God, when we come to see His holiness, what this does is it gives us an acute awareness of our sin. And it's natural to be afraid. One of the Bible commentators I was reading during the week said that he said it this way. He said, the more guilt we have, the more things we fear. Fear of being found out for some little deceit. Fear that some ache that we have is God's judgment upon us. Fear of dying and meeting the holy God face to face. This guilt and fear and judgment are all interlinked when we consider the holiness of our God. God is holy. And it's right that we should be afraid. And yet the wonder of this passage and of these shepherds' experience and of ours, the experience of Christmas, is that into this fear comes a divine message that says to us, fear not. Do not be afraid. Look at verse 10. This is the second thing that we see this morning. We need not be afraid. The angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. This is great news. The fear that these shepherds had was quenched in that moment by the angel's reply. He says, fear not. Do not be afraid. And friends, what wonderful words they would be to hear. What wonderful words to be reminded of at Christmas. The message of Christmas has to be for us one that announces this truth. Fear not. We need not be afraid. Don't we need to remember that in the world that we live in today? We do, don't we? There are so many things in our world and in our lives that cause us to fear. Many things that cause us to worry or be concerned. And yet underlying all of this comes this deep and divine announcement that God would say to us as he said to these shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news." We need not fear, friends, because there's a baby who is wrapped in swaddling clothes who will be clothed with righteousness for his name's sake. We need not fear because this baby will become the sacrifice for our sins. Christ will deal with the guilt and shame that causes us to fear. He'll deal with the sting of death. He'll deal with that fear in our place so we no longer have to fear it. Friends, this is of great comfort to us. Think about it. If Jesus has dealt with that fear of death, if it no longer hangs over us, if that fear of death is the worst thing that we would have to fear, and Christ has conquered that death, then why should we fear any lesser thing? The angel of the Lord said to these shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I'm not here to harm you, but I've come to bring good news. I've come to bring you joy and not fear." And that's what Christmas reminds us of, doesn't it? That we have no need to be afraid. Friends, there's a third thing that we see this morning. And that is that this angel came bringing good news. This is good news. The fact that we no longer have to fear. It's good news. God has given us this good news. He's given us the gospel. That's what gospel means. It just means good news. What is the good news that the angel brought? What is the good news that God has given to us? Look at verse 11. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Christ came into this world to die in our place, to save us from our sin. He is the promised Messiah. He is Christ the Lord. That is good news. And friends, that's where it gets practical for us at Christmas. As we think about what this means for us, as we remember that we've received this good news. For those of us who are here who've received that, who call ourselves Christians, think about that for a moment. Christmas time. At Christmas time, what do your friends expect to hear from you as a Christian? As you spend time with them at work, wrapping up before the holidays, as you spend time in your leisure, on your holidays, with your family and friends, what kind of news do they expect to hear from Christians at Christmas? What type of news do they expect to hear from you? Is it good news? You know, by having you in their lives, do they get to hear the good news? Do you tell them that? Or is it simply the same news? The same news of the culture of our day, the same news they could hear from anybody else. The same news that says, "I'm bored or busy, unsatisfied with life. I'm unsure, I'm afraid." Maybe the same news that says, "Look, this Christmas is just too much. I just don't like Christmas." Friends, let's not ever be too familiar with this good news, with this gospel. Let's not ever be too familiar with it that it loses its impact on us. This is huge news. This is good news. This is a life-changing message of peace. It was such a big deal for the angel to announce this good news that when he had given that message to them, the very next verses 13 and 14, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared. A multitude of angels just lit up the sky and started singing praise to God. Praise for the announcement of this glorious good news. It's a big deal. And it is great news. The good news is that Christianity is not a belief system that addresses moral problems and doesn't have any tangible link to the real world. What we see in this text is that it brings with us an experience of joy and peace now in this world. That's what the angels were singing about. Friends, isn't that good news? That you can know joy and peace even in the midst of your struggle. Even in the midst of the circumstances that you are facing today. Because of Christ Jesus. Because of this birth. Because of this announcement. You can know joy and peace today. Because of this gospel, you can know purpose and hope for the future. Because of this good news, we're brought into the plans of God and included in His kingdom. We're brought back from that guilt of sin. And we're made right with God. That's a great joy, friends, this good news. The fourth thing we see this morning is that this is a good news for all people. This is who the good news is for. It's for all people. Not just those who are on the inside. Not just for those who are well informed or well behaved. It's not just for those who've been nice this year. But this is a message for all people. And that is especially good news. Because it means it's a message for people who struggle with busyness. It's a message for people who struggle with boredom. It's a message for people who struggle with satisfaction in life. It's a message for people who are unsure, who are afraid. It's a message for people who struggle to love God with all their heart and mind and soul and strength. Friends, this is a message for you. And it's a message for me. The angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy for all the people," in verse 10. Good news of great joy that God has made a way for people like us to know peace and to experience joy, even in the midst of the broken and sinful world that we live in. Even in the midst of our ordinary lives as we struggle with ill health or financial difficulties or relationship pressures, we can know the joy of Christ's salvation. We can hold on to this good news because it's good news of great joy for all people. The fifth thing we see this morning is that this is a message worth sharing. You look at verses 15 to 20. What do the shepherds do? They've received this good news, this proclamation, this announcement. They've witnessed this amazing event. What do they say in verse 15? Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They go off and they find it just as He had said. And what do they do? Verse 17. When they'd seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And the response to that, verse 18, all who heard it were amazed. It's quite a scene. And here's this group of men who are not allowed to give evidence in court, and here they are, bearing witness to the birth of the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. They bear witness to humanity's greatest gift. God has come in human form. Must have been a sight. Imagine that. And here we see the power of this gospel, this good news, this message for all people. These once fearful shepherds are now faithful messengers of the good news. They're agents in sharing this good news for all people. Friends, that's the power of the gospel. It's such good news, it is worth sharing. Don't forget that. Be reminded of that this Christmas. This is why we get excited about Christmas, why we should get excited about Christmas. This is why, as a church, we get behind Kedron for Christ. It's why we're up in our schools each week teaching RE. It's why we reach out to our local families through playgroups and mainly music. This is why parents like Greg and Beck and others stand before their church family and promise to teach their kids about God, because they know this is news worth sharing. Friends, since we have news that's worth sharing, we need to be prepared to share that news. As Peter said, 1 Peter 3:15, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Friends, we need to be those people this Christmas, ready to share the good news for all people, because it's a message worth sharing. If you know and love Jesus this morning, you need to accept that, like the shepherds, you are now agents of this message. You're now ambassadors with Christ. It's your joy and your responsibility to pass on what you've seen and heard, to bear witness to the power of the gospel in your life. And friends, that brings us to the final thing we see this morning, that this is a message that calls for a response. There's a number of different responses in our text this morning. We've already talked about heaven's response in verses 13 and 14, that multitude of praise to that proclamation of good news for all people. The shepherd's response, let's go and see what we've seen and heard, in verses 15 and 17. The crowd's response to that word, amazement. They wondered about these things. Then there's Mary's response. She treasured these things and pondered them in her heart, in verse 19. And the shepherd's response is to return, to go back to their sheep, to go back to their fields, glorifying and praising God. Can summarize those responses in two words: wonder and worship. Mary treasured these things and she pondered them in her heart. This is an amazing thing that God has done. Something that should cause us to ponder it, to wonder, to consider if it is true, and it is. It will radically change your life. It will bring peace, even in the midst of whatever circumstance you might be facing today. It will bring hope and joy and certainty to your life. It's worth wondering about these things. It's worth pondering these things. And when you come to receive that gift of grace, then the only response is worship, to glorify and praise our God. See, friends, the thing that should cause us to wonder is verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. This was no ordinary birth. This was the planned purpose of a loving God. This was a salvation plan for all mankind. Jesus' name, the name he was given before his birth, means God saves. God saves his people from their sins, is what the angel said. That's why he would be called Jesus. Friends, he brings the salvation that was promised. He brings this peace with God. But that peace didn't come when that baby was born. That peace came when this baby died. When our Savior and Lord went to that cross in our place and bore in himself the punishment for our sin. When he willingly laid down his life and offered it up for us, he bought our peace. We should ponder that. That great sacrifice, that great love. And it should lead us to worship. So I thought about this passage this week. And as I pondered this wonderful good news to these shepherds, I marveled at the fact that Jesus himself grew up to be a shepherd. Our shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. The writer to the Hebrews finishes his letter with these wonderful words in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. I don't have it on the screen. You can look that up if you'd like to. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. The writer says, "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, that he may work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." The writer acknowledges here that we have a great God of peace who has enacted and given us this peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that great shepherd of the sheep. It's a good thing to remember at Christmas, isn't it? That Jesus is our great shepherd. It's been a privilege for me to be one of the shepherds here at City North. To lead and to teach and to love God's people. But I'm reminded this morning and I'm reminded at Christmas that Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is my shepherd. And it's because of him and what he did. It's because he died and he rose again that I can have this peace that we rejoice and remember at Christmas. Friends, it's my prayer that you know that shepherd, that you hold on to that shepherd, that you live your life in wonder and worship of him. Let's bow in prayer together. All loving Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and praise that you are a God of peace. Father, we thank you that you've given us this peace by sending your Son. Thank you that Jesus went to that cross and died in our place so that we could be made right with you, so that we could stand before a holy God and not be afraid because of the good news of that gospel of grace, Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Father, we thank you that this is a message of good news for all people. Help us to remember, Lord, that this is a message worth sharing. Stir in our hearts again the urgency of that task, both the responsibility and the joy of bearing witness to what we know to be true. Father, we just pray that you would call a response this morning to our hearts, that we would both wonder and worship you, the living God, for your grace to us. Father, if there's any here this morning who've yet to put their hope and faith and trust in Jesus, may they this Christmas receive this message of the gospel, this good news, and see that it's a message for them. A wonderful, life-changing message of hope and a message of peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.